Good morning, everyone. We turn to immigration, and the national debate over inaction by the federal government on immigration reform is certainly part of the reason why SB 1070 was passed in Arizona, the controversial state law that allows police to pick up people on suspicion of being undocumented immigrants. We're going to talk about that a little later on in this hour. And also that story out of Utah, 1,300 people on a list from some anonymous group claiming that these 1,300 should be deported because they are illegals. We're going to talk about that. People taking matters into their own hands in the face of federal inaction. But it wasn't always that way. Amnesty, it's not really talked about in the immigration debate right now. You used euphemisms. Don't you love this? The path to citizenship.
Yeah, right.
It's sort of the euphemism for amnesty. But amnesty is actually the most radical idea in immigration reform that's already been tried. Listen to this.
It is true our borders are out of control. It is also true that this has been a situation on our borders back through a number of administrations. And I supported this bill. I believe in the idea of amnesty for those who have put down roots and who have lived here, even though sometime back they may have entered illegally.
President Ronald Reagan supporting the idea of amnesty back in the 1980s.
Quite a radical he was.
Do you know how many people he granted amnesty to?
How many?
It's 3 million.
Really?
Upwards of 3 million people received amnesty from a Republican-generated program back in the 80s. Joining us to talk about the forgotten radicalism in the immigration debate and that Republican-generated policy is Stephen Thrasher, a writer and reporter for The Village Voice. He's in the studio with us. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
And Noel Borador is an Episcopal priest and licensed social worker. But back in 1986, you were what, Noel?
I was an illegal alien.
From
the Philippines.
From the Philippines, okay. And your path to citizenship was what?
Through amnesty.
Right, which you applied for...
In 1987.
And this whole idea of being an undocumented immigrant, the sensitivities and all of the vulnerabilities that go with being undocumented simply went away.
Yes.
What did you think when amnesty was offered by a Republican president back in the mid-80s?
I must say I was very overjoyed because I was in the country in 79 and I wasn't able to get home until 1988. So when this was opened to me, and my brother actually also benefited from the amnesty program, I was very overjoyed. My family was overjoyed. I could see my parents in about 7 years. I can be who I can be now, and I don't have
what
to
What does
hide.
That mean, be who you can be?
I mean, I'm a gay man, and... I'm able to celebrate that here. I can be open about my life here. I don't have to hide. I don't have to fear being exposed to authorities.
Are you working? Are you working?
Then?
Yep.
Yes, I was working.
But you've since gone on to get a job working as
yes.
I was
in school then. I also had held two jobs, and then after that I was able to go further for my studies. Went to seminary and then also went to social work school.
And now you're an Episcopal...
I'm an Episcopal priest and a licensed social worker.
All right. So all of that anxiety about traveling, about being discovered at work, about being ineligible for social services vanished in a moment there in 1988.
Yes.
Stephen Thrasher, is that experience typical of the 3 million people who got amnesty under the Reagan program back in the 80s?
I think it is pretty typical. I was inspired to write about this after I met Noel because I met him and I thought if people knew sort of what he was able to do with his life after he got amnesty, it's not something that people would be so afraid of. And I think that his experience of having his life become about being able to do more for himself, for his family, and for his community is quite typical.
In some sense, tracking the numbers of the 3 million people who got amnesty and what happened to all of them is a challenge. But what have you been able to find?
Well, there were about 1.7 million people who came through a general amnesty and about 1.3 million that came in through a special agricultural workers program. And when I started to look at the 3 million people, the short answer in one way when I thought about, you know, what happened to these people, what became of them? And one answer was just nothing became of them. They blended into American society somewhat seamlessly. But when you start to look at different studies from the Center for American Progress, a study out of UCLA, you can see that all of these people started earning more money. Coming out of the shadow economy, they just started earning higher wages. People were able to, like Noel and like one of the other people that I profiled in my piece, were able to invest in their own education and get better jobs. And you can see that there was a big increase in the GDP at that time, which would probably be mirrored if something like that was done again today.
Mm. So, you know, there's a lot of hesitancy to talk about amnesty, and it inspires all kinds of radical passions. You would think that this original amnesty's lack of success is part of the reason why it's viewed as such a radical step today. What explains the hesitation and you know, almost consensus on amnesty being a bad idea in the 21st century?
Some of it I find somewhat inexplicable. As one person told me, the idea that Republicans are against amnesty entirely is somewhat a myth. As we can see from President Reagan, amnesty is good for business, and there were many provisions in that act that were good for business. I think one reason people rightly think that amnesty would not work again is because they're afraid that it would continue on and people would keep coming over. But if there were employer sanctions, which were largely absent from this last amnesty bill, that would be a very different experience.
There were employer sanctions in the 80s that weren't well enforced.
Right. They were very poorly enforced.
So that was a failure. Policymakers would say that would be a
part of the failure. So any policy would really need to include that and include multiple facets towards the policy.
No, but before we go, you know, there's this idea that people who have obtained citizenship in the United States would resent a new group of people getting amnesty here because they didn't work hard or something like that. Would you have resentment if people were granted amnesty under a new immigration reform proposal?
Not at all. Not at all. I think a lot of them, a lot of immigrants would really rejoice in the fact that they're Americans, there's a path to citizenship, and they will serve the country. And I think that's just good for the entire nation.
What's the scale, if we were to offer it on the scale of the 80s equivalent today, Stephen?
We'd be looking at about 12 million people.
12 million.
Yeah, that's probably about what it was. But one thing that I found interesting reporting this story that people don't talk about and is a very radical idea is that maybe up to a third of immigrants come because Mexico has had an increasing population, but that's gone from 7 children per mother in the mid-60s to 2.2 children now, which is just above the United States.
So a lot of numbers are changing. Mm-hmm. Stephen Thrasher, writer and reporter for The Village Voice on what happened to the people granted immigration amnesty back in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan. And Noel Borador, Episcopal priest and licensed social worker who was an undocumented immigrant from the Philippines back in the 80s, granted amnesty in 1988. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.